Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
It can be hard coming back from some time away because I just feel a little bit like out of my pattern. And maybe you've experienced that too. You've been on vacation or maybe on a work trip and you come back and maybe you're not quite in sync with your pattern. And sometimes things throw me off in ways that are unexpected that you wouldn't usually throw me off. For instance, I was driving in today and I was listening to a playlist that I've been sort of formatting. It's a playlist. I have weird names for my playlists on my phone. It's called Endorphin Enigma, right? Enigma meaning mystery, but I like the alliteration with it. But it's a playlist that's put together. It's like a workout playlist. Now, clearly that's not what I use it for, but like it's a goal, right? It's sort of one of the things that I'm thinking about for the new year. But it threw me off when on my playlist, Pretty Fly for a White Guy came on as I'm driving to church. And it just sort of threw me for a little bit. After that was Modern Love by David Bowie, by the way, which has an interesting lyric about no religion. And again, driving to church, it just threw me for a second. I had to sort of refocus myself on church. It's a wonderful playlist, by the way. If you want to know what songs are in it, let me know and I'll print out a list or something for you. Don't judge me. All right, good. But it just threw me a little bit. And but sometimes... sometimes we're in the midst of unusual things, or even when we're in the midst of really sort of common things, something will throw us. Something will sort of shock us into a new perspective or a new way of viewing things. And I feel like in some ways this new protocol that was released on January 3rd is a bit of a shock in a way for us to maybe look at some things in some new ways. When I say this new protocol, are we aware of what I'm talking about? It's been in national news, but there's also an article in the UT today that I was privileged to be interviewed for about a few, I think like 12, is it 12 people gathered together who are representatives from various sort of factions within the United Methodist Church, got together with a well-known moderator and worked out a plan for the future of the United Methodist Church. And the bulk of what that plan means is for those more traditionalist congregations or annual conferences who are less likely to be inclusive in the ways that this congregation is inclusive, for those folks to leave and start a new denomination and have some seed money to go along with that. And that would leave those of us who remain in the United Methodist Church the freedom to remove the harmful language in our Book of Discipline and continue to move forward as a United Methodist Church. There are a lot of details about that. It's a compromise that has a lot of people saying, I'm not sure I got all of what I wanted, but I got some of what I wanted. Also, a lot of the details aren't available yet because they still have to write out the specific legislation. It's not a sure thing yet. It still has to go to General Conference. So, but if you've read about that, if you have questions about that, please see me. I'd be happy to get into those details. If I can say so, good, he just nodded. You can also talk to Eric Schmidt, our Director of Youth Ministries, who is also a delegate to this next General Conference. So he's been meeting with some of our delegates. He's going to have as much or more info than I have. So please see either one of us, and we'd be happy to chat with you about that. The reason I bring these things up is because we're in a new year, and it's a sort of a tradition in this country to look at, like, making some changes in a new year, right? We finished last year, and maybe it was a great year for you, and you feel like, all right, I'm ready to do some new things for another great year. Or maybe it wasn't such a great year for you, and you're saying, well, I'm ready to do some new things to have a better year than last year. Like, whichever one of those it is for you, this is a common time for us to look at some new things. And that's reflected in our Revised Common Lectionary, the scripture sort of sets of texts throughout the year that we often follow, that we focus on the baptism of Jesus because it's the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. The baptism of Jesus is in all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and it happens before almost anything else. It certainly happens before any of Jesus' ministry. It happens before the wedding in Galilee. It happens before he gathers disciples. It is the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. And so it's good that we talk about beginnings now, especially as we look toward the beginning of a new expression of United Methodism. And perhaps we might acknowledge some of the things happening in our own congregation and look toward new beginnings. So I'd like to turn our attention to the text. We're reading from the New Revised Standard Version today. I like the framing and some of the phrasing. And so here, as Leanne reads from the Gospel of Matthew.
Version, the baptism of Jesus. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented, and when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased."
Can I be confessional for a moment? Can I be authentic and maybe a little bit raw? You know this part, this isn't any surprise to you. I am an extreme extrovert. But one of the things that being an extrovert gives the impression of is a high sense of confidence. Being an extrovert, being someone who is so sort of out there in terms of personality and presence, that's part of who I am. You know, our culture sometimes values being an extrovert because it has that portrayal of confidence, and our culture certainly prioritizes and values confidence. But my confession is that my extroversion, it gives an inaccurate picture. I don't feel confident all the time. And if you've seen the San Diego Union-Tribune today, there's actually what I think is a really good article written by Peter Rowe on some different churches in the area and their responses to this new protocol from the UMC. And my picture's in there. You know, I didn't expect to be photographed for the article. I told Peter when I talked to him on the phone before he interviewed me, I said, "All right, I'm happy to come and meet with you." He said he wanted a tour of the church. I said, "Technically, I'm still on vacation, so I'm going to be pretty casual." And so I got here to meet with him, and he brings a photographer. You know, I'm dressed in a Nebraska hat and a sweatshirt, and he wants to take my picture in front of the cross. And I'm feeling really self-conscious that thousands of people are reading that paper today and seeing an expression of the casual pastor instead of who I think ought to be the vision of what a pastor looks like. When I think about the future of the United Methodist Church, like I don't know what's right. I don't know if this protocol is the right thing. I'm not sure what we're going to do going forward. When I talk with our leaders in this congregation about what's going on in this congregation, and when I think about the reality that our congregation's shrinking, we have fewer people in the pews than we had a year and 2 and 3 years ago. You know, and I put a lot of pressure on myself as, you know, this is where the buck stops. And I really wrestle with my confidence. I tell you those things not because this sermon is about me, because I don't want stuff to be about me. You know, sometimes as an extrovert, I have a tendency to tell stories about me, and I don't want it to come across like I think the world revolves around me, because I don't believe that that's true. But I want to be authentic and real with you, because I wonder if I'm not the only one who wrestles in this way. Like, my experience is the only one I can speak from, but I have this sense that I'm not the only one who says, "Listen, I express myself to the world in this way, but that's not really who I am." And that sometimes there's this deeper person, this deeper sense, this deeper emotion And it's not all flowers and rainbows, and I struggled and I wrestled and it's hard. I wonder if people who feel like that were the ones who were going to John the Baptist in the Jordan River. I wonder if it was those people who said, listen, I don't know what I need, but I need something. Because the way I'm feeling at my core, the way I'm feeling on my inside, I need more and I need something else. And the way that he speaks and the way that he says something, maybe I can relate to that. And maybe he can point me in a direction. He may not have all the answers and he may not have exactly what I need, but maybe he can point me in the direction to go and at least feel better than I do today. And the reason that I point out that maybe those people who flocked to John the Baptist at the Jordan River to seek baptism, to hear words about repentance and forgiveness, it's profound to me that Jesus chose to go to those people. See, John the Baptist says in the text, you know, Jesus says, you got to baptize me. He says, I need to be baptized by you, and yet you come to me. I don't think it was as much about John as it was about Jesus going to be with the people and to connect and to be present and to be that sense of God with us. Because I need that. I need to know that on the days that I'm the most broken, that Jesus comes to me. There were a couple of images that were shared by different people online today that I want to share with you because they brought me some hope and some peace today. The first one, if we can move to this image, Tom, says this, if you think you've blown God's plan for your life, rest in this. You, my beautiful friend, are not that powerful. Because it's not uncommon that I ask myself, or even that I ask God, God, have I messed this thing up? I feel like I'm doing what you asked me to do, God. But I'm afraid I've screwed it up. And this reminder to be humble, that I'm not that powerful, it touches my heart. So when I remember that Jesus goes to these people, that Jesus goes to these people that maybe feel in some of the ways that I do, maybe feel in some of the ways that you do, this is where Jesus goes. This is where Jesus shows up. This is where Jesus begins his ministry, a ministry that changes the world. I feel like, well, I want to be more like that. If I can be transformed that by that, then I want to be maybe more like that. And so here's the other image that someone shared online, if we can go to this image. This year, I want to be more like Jesus. So again, we're at the beginning of the year when we make our resolutions. So I want to hang out with sinners. I want to upset religious people. I want to tell stories that make people think. I want to choose unpopular friends. I want to be kind, loving, and merciful, and sure, maybe take naps on boats. Baptism is a critical part of the Christian ministry. You may remember that this past year, as we were talking about going back to basics, we talked about the baptismal vows. We talked about resisting evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves, which, by the way, I think is a critical part of the work that people are doing to be justice-filled in the United Methodist Church, to be inclusive of all God's children, is resisting evil, oppression, and injustice in whatever forms they present themselves. But as we think about the transformation that takes place in baptism, we may remember that we have the opportunity to be transformed. Now, in the United Methodist tradition, we're baptized once, and we feel like that's the gift of the Holy Spirit. Nobody has to redo that, but we do have opportunities to remember our baptism. Later on, when we serve communion, you'll be invited to come forward. But one of the things I'd like to invite you to do is to take a moment to remember your baptism. So when you come forward, we have the baptismal font here. As we conclude the sermon, I'll say a quick prayer over the water. But when you come forward, if you just want to dip your hands in the water, maybe make a sign of a cross on your forehead. If you're here with a family member, perhaps a spouse or a partner or a loved one or a child even, if you want to do that for each other, that might be a meaningful way to remember your baptism. If you haven't been baptized, that's okay. You can still touch the water. You can make the sign of the cross on your forehead. If you want to look toward the opportunity of transformation and baptism in that way, you'd be welcome to do that. You don't have to be a member of the church. You can have all the questions and doubts that you have. It's still an opportunity to experience God's Spirit in a particular and tangible way. And so as we conclude this time and this message today, I offer this prayer. Holy God, we are grateful for the water through which you transform us. We are grateful for the ways that you change us, the ways that you show up when we are most in need of cleansing and refreshment, when we are most in need of transformation. You come to us where we are, in our desperation and our doubts and our joys and in our celebrations. Help us, O God, to live into the life-giving waters that you pour on us and through which you change us and transform us, so that we might be your people of faith, of love, of hope, of peace, and a people who look towards joy. God, transform us this day. Fill in our broken places, so that with you we are made whole. We pray in the name of Jesus our Christ. Amen. Let's join in the spirit of prayer. Holy God, in our connection and community this day, we are grateful for this connection. Not only the connection with one another, but the connection to which you call us to be with you. As we lift up prayers of struggle, prayers of celebration, and all the prayers in between, we are reminded that your work has already begun. We are reminded that you continue to be present, to fill in our broken spaces and our cracks, to make us more whole, and to make us more like the image in which you have created us. Today, O God, we lift up the people of Puerto Rico who continue to struggle after violent earthquakes. We also lift up those impacted by a volcano that's erupting in the Philippines. We lift up prayers for healing and for comfort for a successful bone graft and marrow transplant or procedure that will be had this week. We lift up a prayer for a brother, Stephen, who is fighting cancer. God, we lift up a prayer written in young writing that says, "Pray for my daddy as he deploys." God, we bring these things to you and all that are left unsaid as we join together in speaking the prayer taught to us by your Son, our Christ, as we say together, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen."